Well, these are your prayers. Hey, I'd like for us to think about the subject that I put on the board. It's God Almighty. I'd like to glorify God a little bit today. The old song says He's worthy. I don't think we really even know how much He's worthy. I think that in our human life, in our modern time, I think because of the events of life, sometimes we, even good saints of God, might lose the track, lose the idea that He's God Almighty, that He is a great big God, that He's bigger than our minds could ever take in, that He is the creator of the whole universe.
That's true.
We lose the idea that God knows everything, that He's everywhere, that He has all power, that you and I have been given promises by this Almighty God to the saving of our souls, to the help and encouragement of our lives. How easy it is to get wrapped up in the cares of life and lose the idea that there is an Almighty God. In Genesis, this is where I took this little passage from, this little thought. In Genesis, the 17th chapter, first verse says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." All right? 99 years old, and God comes to him and introduces himself with a title. God could have said to him, I am all wise. Here is the all wise. Here is the all understanding. He could have said, here is the all present. But He came to him and said, at 99 years old, there was a reason why He called Himself what He called Himself. Abraham needed the introduction that God gave him. This is the title that you need to know of me. This is what you need to understand of me, because I'm about to do something in your life that you need to have this understanding of. God can do anything. So He comes to him and introduces himself. Abram, I am God Almighty. Almighty. Possessing all power. Omnipotent, which means all potent. Being of unlimited might. Abraham, I am God Almighty. But Lord, I'm 99 years old. What are you going to mean that you're going to make a great nation out of my seed? I don't have any seed. What do you mean you're going to make out of my life a great people and all that? How could you do that? Well, He clarified it when He introduced Himself. He said, I am God Almighty. This God Almighty can do for us. Oh, what can't God do for us? Can God quiet a child? Can God deter an enemy? Can God change a heart? Can God save you in an accident? Can God save you in a tornado? Can God encourage you when you're down? Lift you up when you're hopeless? What can't God do? I am God Almighty. I'd like to ask you today just a simple question. Has God introduced Himself to you? Has He ever introduced Himself to you as God Almighty? I think if we looked around, we'd have to say, if we was honest. I think all of humanity, if they was honest, would have to say, He's God Almighty. Because as I look at the things around me, I'm honest enough about it. And I know I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. but I can understand a few things about life and this and that. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I can look into the starlit sky, thousands and millions of stars out there, and I get the sense of awe and a sense of littleness and a sense of, God, who are you? That you have stretched these things and done these things. Folks, He's God Almighty. And when it's easy, the days are beautiful, it's supposed to be 71 degrees today, it's a beautiful day and it's full of hope of spring and of better things and of warmth, and you can feel that, and there can be a sense of well-being by the things that come around us. But did you know this God is God Almighty when it's not like that? In the long nights, in the not understanding what the problem is, He don't cease to be God Almighty. Because we get into the places we do doesn't change Him. I need God Almighty more in the middle of the night than I need Him in a sunny day. I need God Almighty when persecution's coming to me and I'm wanting to fight back or do something ungodly or stand where I shouldn't stand. I need God Almighty on my side. I need God Almighty when I look at my mortality and realizing and the despair comes to me because I know my death's coming too, and one day He'll look down at my poor dead body there. I need the encouragement of God Almighty. Something bigger than I am. So God goes to Abraham and says, Abram, I am God Almighty. You're going to get a hold of that, Abraham. You're going to get a hold of that. Folks, listen. I want to talk a little bit today about faith in God Almighty. Faith in God. Faith that goes not because we're something. You ever think about, have you ever been in a place that you need faith? What do you do? I've been there. I'm going to tell you. I tried to muster all the fortitude that I can. It's almost like if I sit and grit my teeth long enough and concentrate on one simple thing that I trust in God, I'm going to have more faith. If you sit there and do it long, you're going to do it. You know, faith is believing, but faith is much more than believing. You believe God made the universe? I do. It's a choice I make. I believe that. I believe that God is God of all. I believe God made man. I believe God detailed all the details about mankind. I believe God done everything. I believe God allows everything. I believe God's real. I believe God has done everything He did. I believe God sent His Son to save me. You believe that? I believe that Jesus done all the miracles that the Bible proclaims that He did. I believe that. I believe even the things that people think are silly to believe. I believe that Jonah was 3 days in the belly of a fish. Do you believe that? I believe it. I believe that there was a deluge one time that flooded the whole earth. You believe that? I believe that. I've chosen to believe those kind of things. I believe God is what He said He was. But do you know, unless I translate my faith into my actions of the days, I don't have faith. Faith has to be acted upon. It has to be something there that does something for your life. It has to be something that draws you. I know I can't do anything. It isn't about me getting enough strength and mustering up enough courage to stand solid in something that I don't even know it. Those kind of things. That's not what faith is. Faith is believing in an almighty God's ability to do it. And in not only His ability, but His wisdom to do it, His understanding of it, to trust God. Trust God and be true. And see what He can do. I want to encourage us as a congregation of people today to open our hearts up and see what God will do through faith in God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So there's got to be a way of taking what we believe. Many people say they believe, but in the conduct of their life, they never say, there's never a statement of belief in their life. They never let it translate into a positive action towards faith. They say, I believe there's a God that created the universe, He created me, He created you. I believe Jesus died for my sins, I believe all that, but yet there's no translation in my life that says, yes, Lord. I live this way or do this because. I stand where I stand because You're God Almighty. I stand and look at the enemy. I think of the story of one of my favorite stories of Hezekiah when Sennacherib came to him. He was faced with overwhelming odds. He was faced with a pressure. You and I have probably felt those kind of pressures. You just want, oh, what can you do? I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. But he done the only thing that he could do. He translated his faith into God into actions. He believed in Almighty God because he says we can't fight them. They're too strong. They're too mighty. They proclaimed it and it is true. They have overthrown every nation that tried to stand before them. And now they're pressing on us. And now what are we going to do? But they send him a letter. You remember the story. And here goes Hezekiah with the letter. And he goes in before the Lord. Now this is faith, folks. This is what it comes down to. He took that to God Almighty.
Yes, he did.
God Almighty wasn't limited with the horses or the chariots or the spears or the armor of the enemy or the 180,000. He wasn't limited with the spark in their eye or the fangs or the teeth or the grit or nothing. He wasn't limited with mankind at all. And Hezekiah simply with a letter goes and lays it before the Lord. By faith, he laid it open and said, Lord, read the letter. Read the letter of those that come against your people. And he committed. You know why we can commit our lives to God? It's because He's God Almighty.
Yes.
That's why we can in the face of all the onslaught of the enemy, in the face of all the odds. When men look and say, my brother, you're crazy. It's crazy to stand where you're standing. It's crazy to do what you're doing. That isn't necessary. That isn't nothing. There's a reason why I can commit. There's a reason why I can stand. There's a reason why I can take the letters that I get in life and spread them before the Lord. There's a reason I can do that. And it's because He's come to me and said, Marty, I'm God Almighty. I'm God that can take care of this problem against all that you think and feel. You have feelings?
Yes.
I do. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm moody. Everybody that knows me says, man, he's moody. I've been moody. I know what it is to fluctuate with that. But there's something that does make it even. Even I can't control that. Emotions. Because when something happens and I go down, it ain't like I think, hey, here's something happened, I think I'll go down. I don't do that. It's because I have a nature in me. But there's something that puts it on an even keel, and it is the faith in God Almighty. Because I don't live just because of the way I feel about things, but there's something more than that. There's God Almighty. There's a God that it can do anything, everything. There's nothing limited. He can do the most miraculous things. And the most outstanding thing to me is He can do the most outstanding things and make it look like He didn't do anything. That people looking on that don't want to see it, don't see it anyway. How you say, well, God, great big God ought to be able to do great big things. Well, how about a great big God that can do great big things and make them appear like He didn't do anything? It's because He's God Almighty. Can change the circumstances of that attack in the middle of the night that comes through you and I. And He can alter it. And by morning and the sun comes, and the morning comes in, and then there's the relief. There's the blessings there. God has performed.
Yes.
Have faith in God. Yes. We'll look at a scripture over in... Well, let's go to Mark 11. I'm going to get it at the 20th verse. Well, I'll go back to the 14th. It says, And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. 20th verse. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest, it is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. All right? Peter? Oh, Peter? Hope you remember this one. There's a lot of them you forgot. And wasn't that so true? They're walking along and Jesus goes to this fig tree, anticipating something on it. Well, nothing on it. I don't think Jesus really hated that tree. This is a lesson for his disciples. It was something that he gave. Do you know what this really is? It's equivalent to God saying to Abraham, Abraham, I'm God Almighty. This is Jesus said to the fig tree, you're cursed. Dry up. Then when they come back the very next day or whenever the time period was in the morning, they come back and they look at this fig tree and they marveled that it had already swiveled up and dried. How quickly can you make a tree? You can pick limbs off of it and it wouldn't dry that quickly. But when Jesus cursed it, it dried up and the whole thing changed. Well, when they marveled at it and said to the Lord, Lord, how quickly this thing has dried up, the Lord simply said to them, very simple statement, have faith in God. Put your faith in God. Why did he say that? Because you're going to need stuff dried up. You're going to have things in your life that you're going to need taken care of. And you're going to need God to do it because you're not going to be able to do it. You need God to work. And Jesus was giving him a reference here. I can do anything. Revelation says that he has the keys of death, which infers that he's got the keys of life. He's got the keys of life. He's got the keys of death. You and I don't own them. We don't have anything to do. But God does have faith in God Almighty. Oh, we ought to glorify God with our lives. Not that we have to go around standing on every high stump we see to hollering out, praise God. We ought to glorify God with a life lived in a way of faith to God. That people around us, they live by faith in God. They believe God. He's God Almighty. He can do anything. You can trust Him. You can trust Him with your life. You can trust Him with your body. You can trust Him with the things that you do. You can trust Him with the people around your life. You can trust Him with people's attitudes and ways. You can trust Him with your own doings. You can trust Him that what He leads you, you can be true to. You can trust Him with that. He's God Almighty. There's nothing He can't do. He can bring you from death back to life. He can heal your disease. He can break your problem. He can do anything. Am I telling you the truth today? But do we always understand? Do we live that way? Do we keep that in our hearts? He's God Almighty. Amen. Almighty. Amen. I let myself get discouraged. I let myself get put down. I let myself get stomped on. I let the devil squeeze me, oppress me, depress me. I let him to do that. But then there comes these words, I am God Almighty. And that kick puts me back up because now I know I ain't go through this. He said, have faith in God. God, can you dry up these people's attitudes towards me? Yeah. Have faith in God. Lord, I've got a temper. Can you dry that up? Have faith in God. I've got some ways about me that I don't even like me. Lord, is there any hope for me? Have faith in God. God is a God Almighty. He's a God of all those things. He knows how to do it. I don't know why He does everything. I think God has and can and will touch things sometimes in a divine way that alters them in a moment. But my life hasn't been full of that, to be honest with you. My life has been full of me desiring something from the Lord and the Lord allowing the circumstances of life to get me into the place that God can work with my life to get it altered and changed. That's the way the Lord has worked with me, mostly in life. And there has been times that I've had something in my life and all of a sudden I'm sitting saying, none of this makes sense. Wait, what's happening to me and what's going on? And the Lord says, have faith in God. I'm doing the work that you asked me to do. I'm drying it up for you. I'm going to alter. I'm going to change the situations in your life. Have faith in God. Very familiar scripture. We want to look at the scripture in Matthew, the 8th chapter. Matthew 8, we'll start with 5. It says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him." A centurion was a Roman soldier. Centurion, I'm assuming 100. I think he was a captain over 100. That's the way it sounds. He's a captain over 100 men. The scripture doesn't really clarify this man's position altogether. It doesn't say. But he didn't have a lineage, obviously. The man's a centurion. He's a Roman. But you know, in the heart of every man, there's something. There's a spark of faith. There's a realization of something in every man. I believe that. Here was a Roman centurion, and he beseeches the Lord. He comes in the presence of the Lord. Many did. Many people did. Multitudes did. Some scoffed. Some shook their head. Some gnashed their teeth. Some was of all different emotions. But here was a man that had faith. I don't know how he got there. But it wasn't just important that he believed. He translated it. He allowed it to work. He took his faith and done something with it. He allowed his faith. It's one thing just to say, "I believe there's a God." I think they say still 80% of American people claim that there's a God. But how many of them allow it to be God Almighty to their life? The centurion didn't just say, "Well, sounds like a good story to me. Well, I think I'll believe it." No. He went beyond that. He says, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this, and he doeth it." In other words, the centurion had an understanding of command. He had an understanding of authority. And he understood beyond what a faith. The faith that he grasped and understood was that this man's not limited. His power isn't unlimited. His authority is unlimited. If he says that it'll happen, he's unlimited. This is something real special. I don't know what his words would have been, but he said, you don't need to do that. I'm not worthy that you should do it. But I understand command. I understand authority. And I know by faith, I know you have it. Speak the words only. Do you know Jesus wrestled with his disciples in a way to try to get them to translate their faith and belief into actions? Many, many times he tried to get them to translate, and I'm going to explain what I'm talking about here. He wanted it to come all the way through till it was dynamic to them, alive to them. Something God could use and show his glory in. They believed, but they didn't believe through action. They didn't believe it to the end of it. Point. There was a time when they was on a ship and Jesus is in the bottom of it. If the centurion would have been there with this kind of faith, he would have set up on the highest point and rowed to sea. Because he's command, he's authority. He's God Almighty. I am protected underneath of Him. He can do anything for me in this man. But the disciples, though they had seen, they had looked, you and I have seen miracles. Have we not seen miracles? Have anybody in here ever been divinely touched? I could sit here for an hour telling you over and over stories and stories and stories that's absolutely God. But what about tomorrow's battle? Okay? We all, you're shaking heads because you know, I need to translate, I need to get my faith alive and active in these events, because if I don't, I'm not going to have faith. I'm not going to believe. It's not going to work. They were in the ship. You remember the story? They're in the ship. Jesus is sleeping. And they begin to begin, not because the sea was calm, and it was a beautiful sunny day with a light breeze that blew them gently across there, and they were singing a soft hymn as they went and being encouraged in God. We all do that. No, the sea rose. And the ship was probably brittle. It was probably not an ocean liner. They looked at the circumstances. They knew the sea. They knew their roughness. They knew by events they'd perish. And so they didn't translate God Almighty into action or into their life. They looked at the circumstances and become convinced of the circumstances. Jesus the Almighty, Jesus the Word of God, Jesus the Creator was on the ship. God Almighty rested in the form of Jesus. And they were fearful and they never allowed it to come to that. And what did Jesus say to them? Something to the effect of, "Oh, ye of little faith." Oh, why do you let your faith, why did you doubt? Why do you doubt? How many times I turned water to wine? I've spoken to the deaf, the blind, the halt. You've seen it. I took a few fishes and turned it into a magnificent feast for 5,000 and more. All you know, all these things. And yet, you don't have faith to believe. Jesus got up and said to the storms, and it's recorded for you. I believe that. I believe it's recorded for my benefit. That Jesus said after he chided them a little for their disbelief, he knew them. Then he spoke to the elements, "Peace, be still." And it sounded like the account was is that the great winds and waves and forces beyond humans' ability to stop or hinder or do anything with laid down. And the wind stopped and the sea became glass. And the disciples said, "What manner of man is this that even the elements obey?" He's God Almighty. The elements were formed and created by Him to do His bidding. And He is still God Almighty. I think that we will face in the coming times, if God tarries, and towards the end, I think we're going to face many, many dark things of sin, of evil, of bad things that's, you may say, is going to happen around. But I want you to be encouraged about something. He will forever be God Almighty. He's not going to cease because of a nation that turns the back on Him. He's not going to cease being God Almighty to His people. You have on for you, in the events of your life, you have God Almighty. Still God Almighty, still capable. Well, this is what they did. They didn't allow the faith that they had, because I really believe that if you would ask any of these disciples on any given moment, reach them a piece of here. I got a little survey for you to do. You fill this survey out. You fill this out about what you think about Jesus. They'd have probably done it real well. It isn't about your knowledge. It isn't about your intellects. It isn't about your understanding. It's about a It's about stepping out with your faith and believing God to the end of the work. Till God accomplishes and shows Himself strong. Now what Brother Jeremy said fit in so well with this, because what he was saying is you can do some things. You may pull yourself up by your own bootstraps to a certain level. You may do some things, but you won't do it to your own blessing. You won't do it to your own soul's good. You won't do it to see God in His fullness and allow God to work in your life. You'll only pull yourself up what humans can, and you'll be destitute of anything else. But if you trust in God, God will bless you all the way. And you'll see the benefits of God. You will, as I think it says in Jude, it says about, how does it say that? Something about building up your most holy faith or in your own holy faith or something like it says. But there's a faith that increases more and more. How do you get more and more of that? Have faith in God. Believe in God. Step out. It's your decision. It's your decision. Am I going to step out here on faith, or am I going to let this one ride by? Do I believe God's in control, or I want to be in control? This is a great wrestle. It's ancient. It's what it's been about for generations, to wrestle against me, against God, me. Oh, I wrestle against you. I wrestle against you. No, you don't. You wrestle against yourself. I wrestle against myself, against God. Am I going to do it? I'm going to let God work. How am I going to stand here? What am I going to... That's what I do. Here's the centurion. Lord, speak the word of me. Because I understand and know the capabilities of God Almighty. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." There was a number of people in the scriptures that got to the point that they stepped out on faith. This man was one of them. He stepped out. Another one was a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was, how can I say it? He was in a great trial, I think. Because he was a high-ranking man. Part of the Sanhedrin, I believe. He was a very prominent man. He was a very wealthy man. He was a man to be looked up to and all those things. And old Nicodemus had a problem. I feel for Nicodemus because I remember one day having a problem. God started dealing with my soul. And I was a sinner. And I loved sin. And I loved things of sin. And I like to do what I like to do. And God comes along and starts dealing with me. And I became like old Nicodemus. I didn't know. I wasn't like Nicodemus that I had wealth or prestige. But I was like Nicodemus in that I was in a battle and didn't know what to do about it. Because one was for my soul and the other was for sin. And I was in a battle with that and recognizing, I think Nicodemus was in a battle of decision. So, he comes to Jesus. I wonder how long he had to think about that. I wonder if that was just a 15-minute deal where he said, I'll go see what. No, I think he probably didn't sleep some nights. And he probably kicked around and stirred around. And he's heard these reports around. And I wonder if he ever had a discussion. You ever been there? You have a discussion with a group of people and they're all talking and you know everything they're saying is wrong. And there you sit and just try to keep your mouth shut and gritting your teeth and sitting there wondering, I don't believe this. Am I supposed to believe what they're saying and all those things? I think he wrestled around with it and the point that he said, I can't go in the middle of the day. What would people think? It'd be such a battle to have to come back and answer the questions and the conflict it would have caused. And I got family involved in this and all those kind of things. And he says, got to see him. I've got to do it. You ever get there?
Yes.
I've got to make the move on this. I've just got to.
Yes.
So he goes in the night. Nicodemus. He goes in the night to see the Lord. No doubt he didn't want people to see him. He didn't want the conflict. But he had to go talk to Jesus. So he goes to Jesus. He says, Master, we know. You know what I say? I know that you're from God. You know what Nicodemus was? an honest soul. That would not lie to himself about what he knew was right. He spoke for them all. We know thou art of God. No man can do these miracles except God be with him. You know what that says? It says the man would have to be honest. Doesn't it? Doesn't it entail the whole thing? He went knowing whatever you tell me, I'm going to believe because I've witnessed to you. You have to be with God. The whole thing's in the hear of God. Nicodemus' faith, he stepped out on.
Yes.
He stepped out on, and have you ever thought that the most quoted Bible verse in the whole Bible, the most commonly understood scripture that there is John 3:16, and in my mind, Jesus looked Nicodemus right in the eye when he spoke those words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Nicodemus stepped out. Do you think that impressed him? It's impressed the multitudes. It ain't like Marty just saying. Marty just said it and it was hollow. Even with God bless, it's hollow coming from my mouth. But could you imagine what power that had coming from Jesus to Nicodemus' heart? There was nothing to stop it. I'm telling you, I think those words penetrated him to the depths. You know how he got to that? He stepped out on an inkling of faith. He believed that he was of God. And he stepped out on that to convince, to say to Jesus, I believe. And Jesus gave him the most powerful words ever spoken.
Amen.
Blessed his soul. Nicodemus went on. If you'll follow Nicodemus' life, Nicodemus went on. And I don't believe that he went. I don't believe Nicodemus always stood in the shadows. And I don't believe he always stood in the darkness. I think there was a time that Nicodemus stood out with his shoulders squared and said, let me be one of them. My soul's been touched. And now there's nothing better. We have to step out and believe in God. I don't know what your troubles may be, but I'm going to tell you today, encourage you, there's a God Almighty.
I believe that.
There's a God Almighty for your trouble. And your trouble, I want you to know something about your trouble. It don't even come close to matching what He can do. It only disturbs you because it's your trouble. It don't disturb God. And God is a master of your troubles. God is a master. What's the hindrance then? We're people of God. What's then the hindrance? We many times lack the ability to take the step in the faith. We say we believe. We'll even acknowledge the belief. We'll even talk the words of the belief. But many times we won't step out for that faith that we believe in. God is still God. Oh, there was others. I'm reminded of the prophet. When the prophet had made his different stands and different things, and all of a sudden they send an army on him, and he's there, and his servant runs in the tent and says, "Master, they got us surrounded. They're around us everywhere. Nah, he's more with us than they are with them. You ain't even looked out of the tent." You look out the tent, you're going to see this army's around us. Nah, there's more with us than they are with them. Well, where are they at? He didn't say that. That's me taking liberty. But he said to him, Lord, he prayed, Lord, open my servant's eyes. I wonder if he opened his eyes, but did the prophet have to have his eyes open, or did he see it with the faith that he had? He stepped out. He didn't worry. I'll worry myself sick. You ever worry? Lord, help me. There's a God Almighty. And I'm sitting many times, instead of calling upon God Almighty and allowing God to confirm Himself to me, I'm sitting in a panic. And there is a God Almighty that has proven Himself to His people over and over and again. If I only took the witness of God for me and not took your word for it in anything that you could say, I've got more than enough testimonies to do me a lifetime that I should trust in God all the way. Because
yes.
He ain't never failed. He's never let down. He's worked in many, many, many situations. He just keeps working. We had some company one day. These people were Christian people. They come to visit some friends we had, and one of my children had a infected eye, best I remember, a very red around, almost a pink eye look. Their eye was really bad, and they come, and it those kind of things do get you. You know what I mean? It's almost like it gets you. Just gets you. There it is. And they were sitting there like this, you know, what are they going to do with that? I know they were sitting there wide-eyed. Well, we said, let's have prayer. So we went to prayer, prayed, Lord. Well, it wasn't nothing fancy. It was just asking Almighty God to step in on a certain situation. So we prayed and the child went on. It wasn't but just 15 minutes. They come back around and one of the woman, it was a couple, the woman kind of looked and God looks at her husband and says, that eye's better. It was a matter of course to us. It's what we do. So it's a matter of course. I didn't, I'll be honest with you, I should have, but it's a matter of course with us. So it wasn't something that was a great thing. I mean, it should have been, but it's a matter of course. It's what we do. It wasn't a matter of course to them. I said, that eye is better. It was like, did we see what that was? It was God Almighty stepping in on a situation. He's able, He's capable. We should glorify Him as God Almighty. We run into things sometimes and it's like we don't know what the answer is. Yes, we do. We know what the answer is. You ever been shy about somebody? Somebody called me one time and asked me, do you still believe that God can deliver people that have these certain problems? Well, I ain't really ever seen it. I was thinking, man, yeah. And then the answer come booming. Yes! Yes, He can still do it. And if there's any problem, it's not with Him. It's with us. Yes, He can deliver from alcohol. Yes, He can deliver from drugs. Yes, He can deliver from lust. Yes, He can deliver from from heartache and oppression. Yes, He can. Can He deliver from mental problems? Yes, He can. Well, Brother Moore ain't never seen it. I am. Maybe I ain't either. But He's God Almighty. And He can deliver from those things. How many times have we been blessed of God when it looked like there was nothing? And it looked like we were going to be destroyed. And right before we wasn't. God Almighty stepped in. I've told this many times. But it's my experience. God has spoke to me, Marty, I'm God Almighty. Driving along, going to work one night. I saw this car coming up the hill. I was just getting ready to tip over the top of the mountain and go down the windy part of the mountain. And a car was coming up. And the car was off the road. A good bit off the road. And I first thought, was a drunk driver or something. This guy was... But then as I topped over, I realized that this guy was off the road trying to get traction. Because there was black ice all the way down the mountain. And just about the time I thought that there was black ice on the road, it was too late to do anything. And my car just went completely out of nothing. Brakes meant nothing. Steering meant nothing. You could cut it. The car went through. I mean, it was just like that. And I was, what do you do? Only thing I can remember doing was, Lord help me, Lord help me, Lord help me. I mean, there wasn't no eloquent prayer going on here. It was just the only thing I could get out as I watched everything go by me was, Lord help me, Lord help me. And the car came up and it was about to smash. There was a rock cliff real close on this side. There's over the hill real close on this side. Guardrails, but the hill. And the car slid over and almost hit the bank. And I was braced myself for that hitting that rock cliff. And then it didn't. Right before it did, it didn't. And it slung the car across the road and it looked like I was going to smash those guardrails and go. But right before it did, it didn't. So it slung me back to the rock cliff, but I didn't hit the rock cliff, but almost did. It slung me back and before I did, I didn't. And all of a sudden it slid over into a nice little convenient wide spot right there and stopped. Yeah, I said, thank the Lord. And in my mind, I looked back and said, boy, that wasn't no fancy bit of driving. I couldn't do a thing. But God Almighty can. You believe that? You believe that God can do that at Sennacherib opening his letter? I opened my letter and all that was written on there was, Lord help me. Circumstances beyond your control, bigger than you are, that can take you and change your life forever. I could have been paraplegic. I could have been dead. I could have had my legs broke. I could have been all these kind of things. I simply just opened the letter. God, have mercy. Gainsayers can say, oh, those things happened. They didn't just happen to me. I believe God did that for me. Because He's God Almighty. You know, we can be put into those kind of places and we instantly call many times on the Lord. But I just want to encourage you because I know there's times, and I believe I'm going to say this, that we usually don't speak in these terms. I'm going to say it because I'm going to use you. Because I believe everybody here gets in the place that you forget that there is God Almighty for your circumstance. Because I can say me, and I know that, but I'm going to put it on you. I believe there's times that you absorb your burdens like you're the one that's got to carry it, and you're the only one that can, and you're the only one that can figure it out, and you're the only one doing it. And you'll leave out the idea that God Almighty has been there the whole time to take care of that problem in His own way, in His own time. And He's going to work something. And He told Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And only God Almighty can do it because you're barren. And your wife is barren. And there is a scripture that says, look back to the pit from which you was hewn. You know what that scripture refers to? The barrenness of Sarah's womb. But it's accurate because we can take it on because you look at the analogy. He was talking to Israel. Israel, look where you come from. You come from impossibility. You're here against impossibility. Your ability to be saved was impossible. You look back to the pit of sin and awfulness that you had and you sit here in righteousness today. It's an impossible place. And you come from that. Look back to the pit and have faith in an Almighty God that if He can save you, He can keep you. If He can manipulate and work with the whole universe, He can work with your little pity life. Because He's God Almighty. He can do it all. Oh, I want to glorify and lift God up today. He's God Almighty. There's nothing He can't do. He needs us to do more than say, I believe that. He needs us to say, I believe that, and I'm going to take a step for it. I'm going to step out when I need to step out. I'm going to step out and say, sometimes these are hard. But step out and say, Lord, I'm going to give this to You. I no longer am the owner of this situation. I've got somebody bullying me. I've got somebody that is way out there. I've got somebody that's coming against me. I don't own this anymore. Lord, I'm going to give this to You. I'm going to give it to God Almighty. And I'm going to see the fulfillment of what God can do with our commitments. The Scripture says that He can keep those things which we commit to Him. I believe He can. One more Scripture I want to look at. A very familiar Scripture in James. Second chapter of James. Oh, I was picking up 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, it is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you thee my faith by my works. I think that's fairly simple to believe, isn't it? I'm going to show you that I believe in God by the actions I take in life. What are you doing that for, brother? There's about to have a big fight here and you're down on your knees. I'll show you my faith. I'll show you my faith. Wait a minute, brother. We haven't eaten in 3 days and you're praying? Come on, let's go get us something to eat. I'm going to show you my faith. I'm going to show you a God Almighty hand in this thing. He says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You know, that's quite a statement to say. It gets right to the heart of things. You can have that kind of quality and be no better than a devil. In your life, you can lie and cheat and do all that and believe there's a God and believe there's a punishment. There's a scripture that said in the Old Testament that they feared God, but they served their idols. You know, they feared what God could do. They had seen it. They feared what God done, so they feared the Lord and served their idols. Well, that's what sounds. The devil fears too, and he worshiped the devil. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Many years had passed. He's 99 now. People that's supposed to know, the scholars say that Isaac was a representation of Jesus and that Isaac was not a little boy. That Isaac probably had come of age already. So he probably had already hit that age of 30 years old. Isaac gave himself willingly.
Yes.
This speaks of Abraham's faith. All those years before, probably 30 years, God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm God Almighty. I got that, Lord. I got it. Come time that he said, I want you to offer your son as a sacrifice. God Almighty. God Almighty will lift him up again. He can raise him up again. God Almighty can do anything that he wants to do, because he's God. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? See what he's talking about, the idea of perfect. It is like a circle being completely drawn. Faith is not perfect, just to think about.
That's true.
Faith is not perfect, just to theorize about.
That's right.
It's not perfect made for us just to take a symbolic stand for.
That's
right. It's made perfect when you take a step towards it and allow it to get to the end of what it was purposed to do.
Yeah.
Abraham completed the circle of faith. With the knife drew back, with all intentions of slaying Isaac, the Lord had to stop him.
Yes.
Therefore was he made perfect through faith. Because he believed in the one that had told him, I am God Almighty, and had promised to do it. He believed that he would do it. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. My desire is to be a friend of God. Abraham was a friend of God because he believed in God, not to just the believing of it and saying, that's the way I think. But he said, that's the way I act. That's what I act and that's what I do. You will be, I'll prophesy to you, you will be challenged. You live for the Lord. You will be challenged with many things to come.
Yes.
And there is a beautiful key to that. Step into it in faith.
Yes.
Believe it in God and He'll bless. You pray for me.